could that be in our life if we would really let that song sink in? Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. And many times we say we would want to do that, but we really have difficulty in doing that. So following the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would tonight, turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians once again, chapter 5. We're continuing on in our study in the on the subject of the fruit of the Spirit. We're in the chapter 5 and verse number 22. We've read these verses now. This will be the fourth lesson or fourth message in a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And we want to read that verse once again, then just sort of use that as a foundational verse. We'll use some other verses tonight along with this. But in Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now we have looked thus far in the Bible concerning the first three of this, the different aspects or different attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. We've looked at love, we have looked at joy, and we last time we looked at that subject of peace that comes from the Lord. Now tonight we want to take the next word, and that word is long-suffering. I find that that word is very difficult for me to bring a message upon because sometimes we are not very long-suffering. That word long-suffering means patient. And sometimes our patience is not there. And all of us have the same problem. We're guilty. And Carrie's pointing at Tom. And Tom's looking at Carrie. And I see all you ladies pointing at these men. Now I'll tell you. All right, men, let's get going the other way. A lot of times patience wears thin and wears out every direction. Every direction. But the Bible says here the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Or the fruit of the Spirit is patience. And we want to look tonight on that subject of patience or long-suffering. Just simply the definition of that is a slowness in avenging wrongs. Now all of us do wrongs toward others and we certainly do wrongs toward God. And I'm glad the Lord is long-suffering. I'm glad the Lord is patient with us. I ran some references this afternoon on that word long-suffering. And I find that many of them have connection with God. Most of them have connection with the Lord toward us in that He is long-suffering, that He is patient with you and I. And I'm glad tonight that He is patient. I'm glad His patience is not like mine sometimes. I'm glad His long-suffering is not like mine sometimes. But God is long-suffering to usward. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter number 34, I just want to read some of these verses with long-suffering. It's used 17 times in the Bible. And in the book of Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, it says, "The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and mercy.'" What a great verse that is. The Lord, He is God and He's merciful, He's gracious. And then he uses that word long-suffering, or he's patient with you and I. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 18, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression." Psalm number 86 verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." Jeremiah 15 and verse 15, the scripture says, "O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke." In Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4, "O despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Romans 9:22, "What if God, willing to show his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction." And on the Bible goes. And the verse that we read tonight, Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering." And so that's what we're going to deal with just for a little while tonight, this subject of patience or long-suffering. The Scripture goes on and tells us that if God is long-suffering to usward, then we are to be long-suffering toward others. If God is patient with us, and how true it is that He is patient with you and I, then therefore we are to be patient with those around us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, if God wasn't long-suffering, then everybody that ever lived on the face of God's earth would die and go to hell. Because He's long-suffering to us and toward us, therefore His mercy endureth, and His mercy and His compassion is given to us. And even though we reject it and we turn it back, turn our back upon it and turn away from Him, He's still long-suffering with us, and He calls and He knocks again. And we may reject and we may turn away from God, but He comes and He knocks again. In all of our sin and all of our hatred toward God, God still is loving us and still is patient with you and I. And so we want to look tonight upon that subject of the need for patience in our life. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 36, "For you have need of patience." Every one of us have that need of patience or long-suffering. And when we do the will of God, then we will receive the promise of the Lord. And so we want to look tonight on that subject of the need for patience. You know, we need patience even in times of suffering. I think of Brother George Knight. As he stands before that congregation that he sees dwindling before his eyes, he has to have patience with them, and he has to have long suffering with them, and they with him. But even in all of that, there's suffering in his heart and in their heart of what has happened and the problems and the difficulties that come. When we think of patience, I don't know about you, but I think of a man by the name of Job, and I believe probably in every one of these messages, just about at least one or two of the other messages on this subject of the fruit of the Spirit, we've referred back to Job. And Job is a good example of a man that had the love of God, had the joy of God, had the peace of God, and certainly had the long-suffering of the Lord upon his life. I think of Job and the patience of Job. James chapter 5, verse number 11 says, "Ye have heard of the patience of Job." Ye have heard of that. And we read the story of the man that was taken and lost it all, but yet in all those things he trusted the Lord, and he was patient even with his accusers. When suffering came to him, he didn't win the approval of his friends. He didn't win maybe the approval of his family, but in the end he won the approval of God, and that's all that matters. And that's the real joy of life anyway, is having that approval and the blessings of God even in times of suffering. Turn if you would back just for a moment to the book of Job, chapter number 13 and verse number 15. Job chapter 13 and verse 15, the scripture, Job makes this statement. He says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Now, Job was talking concerning God, and he said, "Though he slay me," he said, "I'm still going to trust in him." And then it says in verse 16, "He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him." Job was in the midst of turmoil. Job was in the midst of struggles and trials and testings and temptations in his life. And he said, "If God slay me," he said, "I'm still going to trust in the Lord." He said, "I may lose not only my goods and my family," he said, "I may lose my life, but," he said, "if I die and God takes my life," he said, "I'm still going to believe, I'm going to trust in the Lord." But when you find at the end of Job's life, you'll find that his long suffering and his patience paid off when you come down to the last portions of the book of Job. In Job chapter number 42, I want to read some of these verses here tonight. This is the last chapter of the book of Job. And you know, when you want to find the complete story, you always go to the last chapter. And Paul Harvey gives you the rest of the story. Well, we have the entire story right here. We have the final episode of Job's life in chapter number 42. And I believe you'll find that Job's patience paid off in the end. Job's long-suffering with the troubles and the struggles and the suffering that came to him, it paid off in the end. Verse number 1 of Job chapter 42, the scripture says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered, and I have understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes." And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against thee. Now here we're going to find God dealing with his three friends. And you can read the book of Job and you'll find they ridiculed Job, they accused Job, and now it's God's turn. And here the Lord says to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the things that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. I'll tell you what, I'd rather have the testimony with God that Job had than I have this friend that Job had in his life. And he says, you go, you take 7 bullocks, 7 rams, you go down and you offer them before Job. He said, you haven't spoken right. He said, you pray that I don't deal with you in your folly. You haven't spoken right like my servant Job. Then verse number 9 says, so Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Nehemite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. That sounds like Job's patience paid off to me. He had twice as much as he had before. In the darkness of the midnight hour, Job lost it all. But he said, I'll not sin, I'll not speak foolishly against God. And he said, and the Bible says, with all that, Job did not sin with his mouth against the Lord. And when it come to the end of his time, he had twice as much as he had before. Verse 11 says, then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. They bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job. Notice that. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camel, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And verse 14 tells you their name. Verse 15 says, in all that land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, saw his sons and his son's son, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. I'll tell you what, the last chapter of Job gives you the result of being patient with God and long-suffering with even those that were against him. And God in the end blessed him and gave him twice as much as he had in the beginning. Well, the scripture tells us the first part of the story of those camels and those sheep and all these different animals that were killed. And now God has doubled them and he's given him twice as much. The Bible tells us about his ten children getting killed, dying, and now he has 10 more. Somebody said, why didn't he have 20? God doubled everything else. Well, he had 10 dead and he had 10 alive. He had 20 children. God blessed him. God gave him everything. And the scripture says that Job did not curse God, that he did not sin against God. And in the end, those friends that came to him that ridiculed and mocked and brought accusation against him, they had to go to Job and ask forgiveness. Really, that's what that was. And God blessed him. And so to be patient in suffering is very, very commendable. And this is what the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, that the fruit of the Spirit is that we're to be long-suffering, that we're to be patient even when suffering comes upon us, to be patient with the Lord. We that are children of God, we'll go through difficult days. We'll go through troublesome times. But we're to be long-suffering and patient with God. And in the end, God will bless us and will help us. Not only should we be patient in suffering, I believe we'll be patient even in sorrow. When sorrow comes to us, the Bible says in Psalm number 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. And then he goes on and says, he heard my cry. Thank God, God will hear us. We wait upon God and patiently look to him. God will hear us. Jesus, we talk about sorrows. The scripture tells us in Isaiah 53 that Jesus was a man of sorrows. He's well acquainted with this thing of sorrow. The Bible tells us in the New Testament what kind of sorrows were placed upon him. He bore the deception and the disgrace, and he died the death of a sinner. But yet he did all of that with long-suffering and with patience and with compassion. And even there, hanging on the cross of Calvary, he died with forgiveness in his heart. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you and I tonight, we're to have the fruit of the Spirit working and active in our life, in that we are to be patient and long-suffering with those things that may come to us. The scripture says in the book of Galatians, chapter number 4, And verse number 32, it says, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." There is patience even when sorrow comes to us by those that would say things and would despitefully use us and would fight against us. We are to be long-suffering with that crowd that would go against us and not to be what they should be toward us. We are never to return evil for evil. We are to return good for evil. And God says that He will bless that. You see, sorrows come to us physically that just happen to us. Then sorrows, many of them are instilled upon us by folks that whom we know. And the Scripture says that we are to be kind one to another, tender-hearted. I believe one of the great assets of a child of God is this thing of kindness and tender-heartedness. To be kind and to not to be abrasive and not to be arrogant. Not to have that attitude that you're better than everybody else and that you're just up two or three lines higher on the ladder than somebody else, but we're to be the child of God that's kind one to another and understanding difficulties and understanding faults and the fault that we'll find in someone, somebody else will find something else in us. Whatever fault we'll find somewhere, you can be sure that somebody will find a fault in you. And it's there because none of us are perfect. None of us are to the point of perfection and will not be there. And so the Scripture said that we're to be kind one to another, that we're to be tender-hearted. And then the Scripture says forgiving one another. That thing of forgiveness is something that's hard for Christians to have in their heart. But the Scripture says that we are to be able to forgive one another. There are things maybe that would be said. There are things maybe that would be done that might not be right, but yet the Scripture says we are to have a forgiving heart, that we're to have a heart of forgiveness. Why? Because even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Thank God tonight He's forgiven me of a lot of things. Thank God He took my sins away and He washed the slate clean and made me righteous in Him. And so therefore, when difficult days and troublesome times and sorrows come upon us, whether it be of just a natural occurrence or whether it be of someone doing something to us, we're to be long-suffering to them as God is long-suffering to you and I. Because He does that for Christ's sake, we are to do the same thing for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to have patience in these areas. I'll tell you something else we are to have patience in, and that's patience in success. A lot of people can't handle success. A lot of people just don't know how to do that, but the Bible says that we're to run with patience the race that is set before us. All of us have a race. All of us have a job. All of us have a task to do. And the Scripture says we're to run that race. We're to do that job. We're to have that task. We're to do that long-suffering. We're to do it when we feel like it. We're to do it when we do, when we feel good, when we feel bad, when we want to, when we don't want to. We're just to be long-suffering and to be patient in the race that God gives to us. That attaining success, if we become overconfident, and we become arrogant in the ways that we feel and the things that we do, then all of a sudden our success is gone. But the Scripture says that we take heed over that. God looks on the heart. God looks on the inside. One of the men preached this week. I forget now who it was. I preached there in 1 Samuel chapter 16, where Samuel went to choose a king over Saul, and Samuel was looking on the outward appearance, and God said, "No, it's not this one, it's not this one." God doesn't look on the outward appearance as man does. God looks on the heart. And so we're to have long suffering. May we not misjudge others. May we not have our motives wrong, but just to serve Him until He comes for us. Even not only in success, but we're to be patient even in our setbacks. Oh, there's setbacks in the work of God. There's difficult days. That's what Brother George was talking about. Brother Knight was telling me today. He said, "I've gone through these things before." He said, "I just want to be where God wants me. I don't," he said, "setbacks come and difficulties come." He said, "I just want to be where God can bless and where God can give the victory." The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse number 7, the Scripture says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." There's where we all have difficulty. Wait patiently for the Lord. Waiting upon God. Now I know the Bible says tribulation worketh patience. Somebody said the other day, said, "I'm not praying for any more patience. Too much tribulation in getting it. Too many difficult times. Too many problems come when you're wanting the patience from God." But the Bible says here that we're to rest in the Lord. We're just to leave it all with God. We're to just lay it at the feet of the cross and lay it at the feet of Jesus Christ. And when troubles come and problems come and setbacks come, then we wait patiently for Him. Now, God doesn't always answer the minute we think He ought to. I thank God when you have a problem and We have something you want to do, I just say, Lord, I need the answer right now. God, I want the answer now. And I don't think I'm very much different than anybody else. I don't think I'm any different. If I want something, if I want to do something, I want to do it now. I don't want to wait. If I want to accomplish something, I want to do it now. We don't want to wait. We don't want to get in God's time frame. But we find that if we leave it with the Lord and wait patiently for Him, that in the right time frame, in the right way, God will make it work out just exactly the way it ought to work, and it'll be just perfect. And so the Scripture tells us that as we walk through the walk of life, now Job, taking him for an example again, Job could have very well have gotten a hold of those three friends, so-called, that he had, and just took care of them, because they accused him of a lot of things. They accused him of being wicked. They accused him of some unknown hidden sin. They accused him of everything under the book because of the trouble that came upon his life. And by the way, every time trouble comes upon somebody's life, it's not always because of sin. It's not always there. Now, I know trouble does come many times because of sin. It's a judgment, sometimes a chastisement of God, but not always. And you and I are not to be the judge of why this one's going through that. And why this one's going through that. I've heard people say, well, I knew that just wasn't going to last very long because of the way they're doing. That doesn't necessarily mean that God has taken that avenue. We find that Job was a man righteous. That Job was a man that had nothing there that could be brought up against him. But yet he suffered setback. He lost everything he had. And he lost cattle, lands, and property, and children, and his wife lost her integrity. Everything was gone. And the Bible said Job just sat down in ashes and put ashes on his head, and he cursed the day that he was born. He didn't curse God, but he cursed the day that he was born. He had sorrow in his heart because of all the troubles and the boils and the sores from the top of his head to the sole of his feet was upon him. And it wasn't for any sin that he did. It was for the end result of what we read a while ago, that God could bless him twice in the end. And so the Scripture says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. God has a purpose in allowing us to stop. Sometimes God has a purpose in allowing setbacks to come to us. Putting us in a position that we are all maybe on the sideline a little bit, watching some things going on that we might learn, that we might observe. God has a purpose in everything that goes, and we must trust in Him, knowing that He has all of our way. That He has for is the best way. Romans 8:28. That's a classic verse. It's an easy verse to quote until you need it. I'll tell you, it's easy to tell somebody, well, just trust in Romans 8:28. Well, when you get there, you trust in Romans 8:28. And see how easy it is. It's not easy. The Bible says we know that all things, doesn't say all good things. I've heard people misquote that verse. For we know that all good things. No, it doesn't say that. It says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. May God help us to rely upon that verse and to realize that we wait patiently and long-suffering with God and saying, God, I trust You. God, I know that things are not as they should be, and I know, God, things are not like I want them to be, but Lord, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to wait patiently. I'm going to have long-suffering in my heart toward God, in that I'll not go the wrong direction, make the wrong move, or make the wrong choice, but I'm just going to wait upon God. Sometimes that's the hardest thing for you and I to do. We must wait patiently for His will to be revealed in our life, for we know that all things work together for good. Everything that comes to us, somewhere down the line, we can look back and say, God used that. Somewhere God maybe used a difficult day to guide our steps another direction. Somewhere God maybe used something along the line of problems to us, and God would be directing us, and we can look back and see. It's said that when you look back, it's always 20/20 vision. When you look back the other way, you can always see just exactly the way it ought to be and the way it was. Looking forward, we don't know every turn. We don't know every hill. We don't know every pitfall along the way. But God does. And God will change our direction sometime to get us out of the way. God will change our direction sometime to get us in the place where He can bless us more and abundantly as we wait upon Him. And as we serve Him, oh, how important it is to have long-suffering in our service, to have patience in our serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. There's some things to be obtained as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Service should be performed for the Lord, not for people. Service to God is a personal matter between you and the Lord. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 23, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Here the Scripture says, if we serve, the Bible says that we're to obey our masters. God is our master, so therefore we obey Him. And then whatsoever we do, do it as unto the Lord. Everything we do, everything in our life, service to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a performance unto God. The more we do, the more criticism you'll have. The more you do, the more people will dislike you. The more you do, the more people will talk about you. Just think about the more you do, the more God will bless you in the very end. We often receive criticism from others, but thank God we'll receive a crown from the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be not only performing unto the Lord, but we must persevere. We must keep on keeping on. We must serve Him until He comes. Perseverance is needed, and results will come. Even though they may be slow in coming, God will give the victory, and patience is needed in all of our service to God. You don't build something overnight. You don't do something worthwhile just in a flamboyant, flippant way. You do something for God over a time of persevering. I believe in the perseverance of the saints. I believe we will endure unto the end because we have the blood of Jesus Christ upon our hearts. So the things that we do them heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. If people do things that men see them, they'll get their reward here of men. And that's all they'll get. If what we do is just for the praise of men, then God will let us have the praise of men. If what we do is just for the pat on the back from men, God will give us. God will let us have the pat on the back from men. But I'd much rather hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I'd much rather hear the Lord say, "Enter in. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you faithful over many." So the things that we do them heartily. That means with all your heart. I don't believe I'll do anything haphazardly. I don't believe I'll do anything half-heartedly. If it's worth doing, my dad always said if it's worth doing right. First time. Don't go back and redo it. I don't mind doing something, but I hate to redo something. I hate to go back and have to redo. If you build a wall, and that wall's not right, it's a lot harder to make it right the second time than it is to make it right the first time. If you build some little object, you fellows that's in crafts, if you do it right the first time, it's a lot easier than having to go back, tear it apart, and redo it again. It's never just exactly like it should be. And so what we do for God, we need to do it right. We need to do it with all of our heart. Not that men might rejoice in us. Not that men might give us applause. Not that men might give us crowns of rejoicing. But that knowing that the Lord shall receive and shall give us the reward from Him. And so may God help us to have in our heart and our life the fruit of the Spirit, which is long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit, which is patient. Patient with God. Sometimes we get impatient with God, don't we? Sometimes we say, "God, hurry up. God, I'm tired of waiting. God, do it now. God, I want it this way. God, I want it that way." We just need to be patient with the Lord. And then we need to be patient with ourselves. I have a lot of trouble with that. Be patient with ourselves. And then God, help us to be patient with others. Realizing and knowing that Christ, or God, for Christ's sake, is long-suffering to us. He's given us all that we have because that He loves us. The Bible says, Hebrews 10:36, where we read a while ago, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." The fruit of the Spirit, all of these things that we've looked at, the fruit of the Spirit, we've looked at love, we've looked at joy, we've looked at peace. We've looked at these things that have to do and deal with the heart. It deals with those. But now tonight we start with this thing of long-suffering, and that has to do with others. That has to do with ourselves. That has to do with those that we come in contact with. Long-suffering, gentleness, and faith. And so may God help us as we look at these three. This fruit of the Spirit is divided up into sections of three. Love, joy, and peace, that's toward God. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, that's toward others. And then faith, meekness, and temperance, that's toward the Lord. God help us to have patience and to have long-suffering in our life, that the fruit of the Spirit might be active and doing that which God would have it to do in our lives, in our day-to-day, day-by-day Christian life, long-suffering to God, to self, and to those around us. Let's stand together tonight. As we prepare just for a song tonight, may God help us. Maybe the Lord needs to deal with all of us concerning this thing of long-suffering, this thing of being patient, and just saying, Lord, help me to learn how to slow down. Help me to wait upon the Lord. Help me, God, just to get the answer and then do it. Not to go do something and then say, is that right? You know, so many times that's what we do. A lot of times we'll say, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to pray that that's be the right thing to do. No, you better pray that it be the right thing to do before you do it. And be patient and wait upon God as you serve Him. Father, bless now tonight the service. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have patience in our life. Help us, God, to have long-suffering to others. Lord, may we have that active, that fruit of the Spirit working in our souls and lives, that we not be short with others, but God, that we would be long-suffering, that we'd be tender-hearted, we'd be gentle, we'd be kind, because that's the way you are with us. God, thank you tonight for being long-suffering with us. Lord, thank you for being patient with me. Thank you, Lord, for being gentle, even in times of chastisement. And God, I pray that you'd help us to have those attributes of the fruit of the Spirit in our life every day that we live until you come for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number,
God? Number 398.
398 tonight as we sing together. Saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within, there at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Thank God tonight we have what we have because we are saved by the grace of God. Sing that verse 2 again.
I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within.
I was just looking at this letter from Brother Moses. I was looking a while ago, didn't understand what it meant. But he recognizes our offering sent each month. Then out beside, down below, it says saved. Then it has 37, 29, and 30. Well, that's the last 3 months. Had 37 saved 1 month, 29 the next month, and 30 the next month. Thank God folks are getting saved. It may not be happening too much in America, but I'm glad God still saves. And He works through the hearts and lives of people around this world to be born again into the family of God. So we can rejoice in knowing that the Lord is in that business of saving people that call upon His name. Do remember our visitation tomorrow night and those different things we mentioned, and pray God's blessings upon one another, and may God help us to rejoice in Him until He comes for us. Be here Sunday morning expecting God to do great things for us, and have the joy of the Lord in our heart that people might see Christ living in and through us. Brother Jay dismisses tonight, if you will.